Salutations, Mets fans, and welcome to this week's edition of Mazin Avenue Audio, the official podcast of your SB Nation New York Mets site, Mazin Avenue. I'm your host, Jeffrey Paternostro, and with me this week is Steve Sippa. Steve, at WWE Battleground on Sunday, The Undertaker appeared after a three-month absence to tombstone Brock Lesnar and eventually challenge him at SummerSlam. So in that spirit, because since you're on, we always had, but gave me the opportunity to shoehorn in a wrestling question. What old Mets player would you like to show up in the middle of a game and tombstone or do some other wrestling move to his sort of like modern contemporary and then take his spot in the lineup?
I'd like to see Jose Reyes make a reappearance at Citi Field and get rid of Ruben Tejada. Reyes doesn't seem like a tombstone guy. I think he's more of like a slingshot plancher kind of guy. Take out Tejada.
I could see that.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good plan. Definitely improve the lineup. I went in a different direction. I maybe went a little too deep on this. We'll see how it goes. So, over the coming weeks of Mets games, they're going up to the trade deadline. Mike Piazza shows up in the booth. Just hanging out with Keith and Ron and Gary, and maybe pops into the radio booth for Howie and Josh, you know, just expressing some concern with the direction of the team. How's it going? How the offense is doing? Stuff like that. Otherwise, just sort of hanging out. Then he says, finally, after they lose 1-0 to, let's say, San Diego next week, he finally gets fed up in the booth. That's it. We need to make some changes around here. I'm bringing in some reinforcements. So after the trade deadline, Sandy's doing his like post-trade deadline segment, talking about why they didn't make any trades. And suddenly Mike Piazza shows up with Edgardo Alfonso. And they're like talking trash about Sandy. Then, well, you know, this is where the big boys play? I don't think so. So then finally they get a big series with the Nationals at the end of the year. Division's still close. Game's about to start. Everyone runs out onto the field. While they're doing the announcements, like Piazza appears on the board, just like running down the entire team. Then he and Alfonso come out through the stands and attack Kevin Plawecki and Wilmer Flores. At which point, big brawl starts, and Matt Harvey runs out of the dugout, and then very portentously, Josh Lewin says, "But which side is he on?" Then he proceeds to turn on the entire Mets offense along with Piazza and Alfonso. And then cue the porno music.
Bravo.
I'm trying to think who eventually plays Crow Sting in this scenario. I think it's got to be like Lucas Duda, because he's like the strong, silent type on the team.
Yeah, that's true. I wouldn't want to see him lowered from the rafters, though. He's a big guy.
He might be a little bit dangerous. I think you could bring back like Kevin Burkhart, too, as like the Bischoff character. It's like their like heel announcer.
He would be good at that role.
I can think of anyone better than Burkhart for it. Or maybe he's someone a little more... he follows me on Twitter, so I don't want to really... I'm not making fun of him, per se. But he's someone a little more like sort of like pipsqueakish, like Bischoff is. Maybe like Evan Roberts would be good for that, too.
Right, you need a guy that whose bark is worse than his bite.
Yeah. This is episode 129 of Amazing Avenue Audio. I said it was 127 last week. It wasn't. It was 128. We've done 129. We've done more than 129 episodes. We've done a fuck ton of episodes. I can no longer really be counting on to keep track of how many episodes we've done at this point in time, though it's very easy to look up.
Well, let them look it up.
Yeah, that's fine. It's episode 129. That will not be it for the wrestling portion of the show either. I'm not doing a WWE Battleground recap because I don't have anything to say about it. Did you watch it?
I did. The first half was extremely boring and terrible. And the last three matches were on different levels, good and surprising.
Yeah. I just don't have much to say about it.
Yeah, that's a really old answer.
It just really felt like a setup for SummerSlam, really. It's like, it was like the go-home show for SummerSlam or something.
Pretty much.
We do have a wrestling email later in the show that was specifically addressed to Steve Sipa.
I'm famous now.
But we have a ways to go before we get there. One of the things we don't do on the podcast so much is just, like, talk about the game that just happened. We might talk about the game that's happening if there's a game on while we're recording. That is a thing we do. We're recording this on Wednesday night. And the Mets lost a game to the Nationals in, like, 2008 fashion, I guess would be the best adjective there. And I do want to talk a little bit about the game as sort of a way of summing up their road trip coming out of the break, 2-4. They're 3 back of the Nats, now going into the 10-game homestand against the Dodgers, the Nationals, and the Padres. We are probably all aware of what happened in that game. But you want to sort of hit maybe the high points, low points of that game and talk a little bit about the road trip. After that, we'll assess where we are with Michael Kadire and Michael Conforto. Kadire's injury and if Conforto should be a call-up consideration at this point. If not, we'll look at the trade market. We are 9 days from the non-waiver trade deadline. And again, the Mets offense is still terrible. This has been a recurring theme on the podcast for the last 15 weeks or so. There was a new batch of rumors this week. A little bit of Ben Zobrist, a little bit of the prospects they might be willing to trade. And speaking of prospects, we just wrapped our midseason list, well, the top 10. Our individual list will go up tomorrow now that I have some free time to actually put that all together in a neat little table for all of our readers. We'll talk about the midseason prospect list, which Steve and I are both in agreement. We will never do again.
Never. It's terrible.
We will talk a little bit about that, and then we'll answer your emails. That will be the show. But let's start with the game today, Steve. It didn't go so well.
Well, I watched the first maybe 6 innings. Syndergaard.
So you saw the best of it. You should have just you turned it off there. You were good. It just could have just ended there.
I turned on the PlayStation. I was playing some video games. I shut it off, and the regular TV goes back on, and they're like, "Oh, the Mets lost." And I said, "Huh."
It's like, look. Any team, good, bad, or indifferent, is going to have their bullpen blow a 2-run lead late in games a half dozen times a year, give or take. Now, it was a particularly bad situation for the Mets because they're playing their division rival. They had a chance to get within 1 game, take 2 out of 3 from them on the road, which would have been a nice little feather to put in their cap coming out of this 10-game homestand. It didn't happen for a variety of reasons. It's a brutal loss by any description. This is not the biggest series of the year. I'm sorry. It's July 22nd. If that was the biggest game of the year, then fuck it. You might as well just pack in the site podcast team season.
It's gut check time.
Yeah, there will be other bigger games before they either make the playoffs or fall completely out of playoff contention. I know the New York media needs a story, and it was a bad loss, but these things happen. They went 2-4 against 2 very good teams on the road. Not ideal. They could have very easily gone 3-3. Terry Collins sort of like did everything he could to sort of take one for the team in the post game presser for leaving Parnell in. And there's a few different things at work here. He only got 6 innings out of Noah Syndergaard, who did not have his best stuff, but he battled. I think I've been talking to various people over the past few weeks, and this was coming from Bobby Parnell one way or the other. First of all, because he's not a true talent, 0.67 ERA pitcher, even when he was healthy. But also because he's not still fully right. Like, I know he pitched pretty good for the first 12 innings of his season,